بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم وآلهم بإحسان الله يوم الدين. وبعد، respected elders and brothers, firstly I'd like to commend the imams and others involved in having these programs in the month of Ramadan, these Sunday programs, wherein this year, alhamdulillah, they've decided to discuss the most important, the most fundamental, the most basic issues pertaining to our deen. The need of the ummah today is for us to get back to the basics, the basic teachings of deen. And alhamdulillah, programs have been arranged this Ramadan to speak about the issue of zakat, about sawm, fasting. And I've been asked to speak about the issue, the very, very important issue, and probably the most important issue in our life. And that is the issue of salah. I've been allocated a certain amount of time. And in this time, inshallah, I'll try to cover three aspects pertaining to salah. One is the importance of salah in Islam and the life of a believer. Secondly, some of the virtues pertaining to salah. And thirdly, some other important issues pertaining to performance of salah, the method of salah. Of course, there's not enough time to go into the full details and the practicals of salah, but some important issues, inshallah. We'll try to stick to our time and see as much as we can cover in this time, inshallah. With respect to elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of us, mankind, jinnkind, for one purpose. And that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to recognize Allah ta'ala and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah says, I've created man and jinn for one purpose, and that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout your life until the last day, the last moment of your life comes, until death comes to you, continue worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the purpose of our life, the objective of our creation, is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the other issues in our lives, be it the working, the business, the marriage, and all the other things, these are just things and issues that are there to help us fulfill the objective of our life, and that is worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mushrikeen, the polytheists in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was their ideology, their understanding? They also believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believed in Allah ta'ala being the supreme being. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهُ. If you have to ask them, ask a mushrik, ask Abu Jahl, ask the kuffar at that time, who created the skies, who created the earth, they would say Allah created. They didn't deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But their belief was that you could not reach Allah ta'ala directly. You could not reach Allah ta'ala directly. Rather, you have to worship some idol, you have to worship Lat, Manat, Uzza, these idols, so that you could reach Allah Ta'ala via these idols. Quran Sharif says that the kuffar would say, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. That we are only worshipping these idols, because through the worship of these idols, we want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will call them shufa'a, intercessors, intermediaries between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to go via them to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala sent Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi alayhi sallam came and he abolished this ideology, he debunked this ideology, and he taught the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that that, is that being, that God, who every single person can reach directly. You do not need to go via anyone to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah Ta'ala can be reached directly. And the way to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly is for a person to bow down in salah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a person has a direct line with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an open line with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when a person performs salah. That's why ulama mentioned that when it came to the issue of zakat, Allah sent down wahi, sent down revelation from the skies to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the face of this earth. When it came to zakat, when it came to hajj, when it came to fasting, the laws came from the skies revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the earth. But when it came to the issue and injunction of salah, Allah Ta'ala took Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam up into the skies. And there is debate amongst the ulama whether Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam met Allah Ta'ala on that night or not. But Allah gave Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam up in the skies, Allah Ta'ala gave him the injunction of salah. to show us that when a person performs salah, he is going directly towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what the Arabic saying goes, As-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. Every time we stand in the saf and we sing Allahu Akbar, a normal human being like you and I, in fact what we are doing, we are going in our own little mi'raj, directly towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, to emphasize the point of salah, throughout the 23 years of the mission of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in numerous ahadith, he continuously stressed upon us, upon the ummah, the importance of salah. And perhaps the single most important issue, or the one hadith that will stress and show us the importance of salah in Islam and the life of a believer. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is in the final moments of his life. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is undergoing excruciating pain. The death and the sakarat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unlike any other person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through excruciating pain at the time of his maut. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, you know, the time of maut is a very, very critical juncture for a person. The bequest that a person makes at that time, and what a person says is that at that time, people who are close to that mayyit, they hold onto this very, very dearly. Many people hear them saying, you know, one of the last things my father told me was this, and my mother told me before she passed away this and this and this. And the person, this is some advice that is very, very dear in the life of a person. And the more pious the person is, the more pertinent and more important those advices become. And here we are not talking about any normal pious person, but rather we are talking about Sayyidul Abrar, the leader of the pious, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. In the final moments of his life, what is his advice? What is his parting advices? As-salah, as-salah, wa ma malakat aymanukum. Hold on to your salah. Be regular with your salah. Do not discard salah. Hold on to your salah and treat your slaves kindly. Hazrat Ummu Salama radiallahu anha says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his final moments continued to repeat this advice. He continued to be ma zala yaquluha hatta ma yafidu bihi lisanuhu. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to say it. And the only reason why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped saying it is because he lost the strength. He could no longer say it. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped saying as-salah, as-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. So this is one single hadith, Nadibar, from all the many ahadith showing the importance of salah. This hadith is enough for a true believer to understand the virtue and the importance of salah in the life of a believer. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We know the incident about the death of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He went out to perform salah, Fajr salah, and he was attacked by Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi, the fire worship of Abu Lu'lu, and he critically stabbed Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is now taken away from the masjid. He's bleeding excessively. He's taken to his home. And he's taken to his home. And now the time of salah, of Fajr salah, is about to elapse. It's about to come to an end. People are saying Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is unconscious. What can we do? Salah time is about to go. Umar radiallahu has not performed his salah. People are trying to get him up. He's not waking him up. Miswar bin Makhrama radiallahu enters and he says that wake him up, and the best way to wake up Amirul Mu'mineen is to call him towards Salah. If there is any life left in Amirul Mu'mineen, then he will respond to the call of Salah. So people call out, As-Salah ya Amirul Mu'mineen. O Amirul Mu'mineen, the time for Salah is about to elapse. Umar radiallahu all of a sudden wakes up and he says, Naam, yes, the time of Salah is about to elapse. La haqqa wa la hawwa liman tarakaha. There is no place in Islam. There is no share of Islam for that person who discards his salah. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala, despite the excessive bleeding, he makes wudu at that time and he performs his salah. And then he asked the question, subhanAllah, look at the importance of salah. He asked the question, Asallan nas. I was martyred. I was stabbed during salah. Have the others also performed salah? He says, yes, Amirul Mu'mineen, they have performed the salah. They completed the salah after he was stabbed. And he says, luckily they performed the salah, because la islam liman taraka salah. There is no Islam for that person who discards salah. There is no Islam in the life of that person who discards the salah. The statement of Umar radiallahu ta'ala draws our attention to a very, very important issue. And not only is it an important issue, but an issue of great concern. That there is no share of Islam. There is no Islam in that person who does not perform his salah, for that person discards his salah. We find in the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, there are numerous ahadith wherein Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, he related and he likened that this, or he said that the discarding of salah is tantamount to disbelief, is tantamount to kufr. Nabi alayhi salam said, as-salatu imaduddin. Salah is the pillar. Salah is the pillar that holds up the deen of a person. You know, downstairs in our parking lot we have here, the underground parking, the basement parking, we have pillars there. Those pillars are not there just for aesthetic purposes, just to make it look good or something like that. But rather, those things are crucial. Those things are there to hold up the building and the masjid, whatever part of the masjid is above it. Remove those pillars, remove those pillars, and we will find that the structure will become crashing down. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that As-salatu imaduddin, salah is the pillar of deen. For you to have Islam, for you to have Iman, for your deen to remain a structure, to remain in place, you have to have the pillar of Islam in place. Remove that pillar of salah in place. Remove that pillar of salah and you will find that your deen will become crashing down. Nabi Sallam mentioned in a hadith sharif, that you have a believer on one side, and you have kufr on the other side, disbelief on the other side. And between a believer and that kufr, there is a barrier, there is a buffer. Allah's Nabi Sallam said that that buffer is salah. But if that buffer, that barrier is not found in the life of a person, the barrier and the buffer of salah, then is removed from the life of a person, then this person now slides and he goes into disbelief and he loses his salah, he loses his iman. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in numerous hadith has said, for a person to discard salah, this is tantamount to kufr. We have certain a'imma, certain ulama of the imma, like Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi, who say that a person who discards salah, that person loses his iman. I remember many times Hazrat Muiz Patiya rahmatullahi was explaining this point, maybe some of you remember, and he says Allah's mercy upon us, because Allah knows what will be our position, that certain imma, like Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, say that these ahadiths are not taken on the apparent meaning, although some have taken it. It's not taken on the apparent meaning that a person who does not perform salah, he discards salah, he does not become a kafir. But my dear brothers, looking at the zahir words of the hadith, then is it something worth us chancing? Is it something worth us chancing that leaving out salah, a person will be losing his iman and he'll be coming out of the fold of Islam? So very, very important, my dear brothers, understand the importance of salah. A person discarding salah can lead to a person becoming a kafir. Yes, we have no right whatsoever. We know a person does not perform salah. We have no right to call that person a kafir. But for our own selves, that's the biggest problem nowadays. We take all the ahadith and the teachings of deen and think it's for the next person. Rather, Nabi Sallam mentioned these ahadith, the teaching of deen, for us to bring into our lives and to implement it and act upon it in our lives. Another important issue, my dear brothers, for us to understand, and this is not only particular to salah, but all aspects of our deen. Currently, we as an ummah, we face many, many problems. We have to concede and accept that we face many, many problems as an ummah. We know what is happening in Gaza, and Gaza is not the only place in the world. Many other places around the world, and many other challenges. And yes, our challenges are very, very major. They are very, very intricate. They are very, very big. But sometimes, and the mistake we make, we think that we have these major issues, we have these big issues, these major problems, these critical issues, so to resolve them and to solve them, we also need some very, very novel, some very, very fancy ideas, some very, very fancy solutions, some very, very intricate and complicated resolutions and solutions to solve the problem. And that's where we're missing the point, my dear brothers. We think that, no, through politics, we'll find solution to our problems. We think through normalizing ties with our enemies, that will find a solution to our problems. Unfortunately, my dear brothers, I don't like to pick fault on anyone, but look how far our thinking has become. One court case, international court, the South Africa goes and defends puts forth the case of the people of Gaza, puts forth the case of the Ummah, and in there, unfortunately, my dear brothers, I don't mean to run anyone down, but there's a Muslim woman there with a hair uncovered. What a major sin in Islam. This is a sin we become desensitized towards because we see it all the time. What a major sin, what a major sin, what a major sin. If today somebody had to come for Salah wearing only speedos, come for Salah, all of us will jump down to throw this person and we will tell him off, this person. A woman with her hair uncovered is the same as a man coming to Salah with his speedos on. It's a major sin. She has her awra uncovered, her satr uncovered. So she defending the case of the Muslims, of people of Gaza, and Muslims have said this is a step in the right direction. This is a step in the right direction. If we ever think that our solution to our problems will come through the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there are some very, very big questions for us to ask ourselves, and there's some real soul searching for us to do. Rather, my dear brothers, our solution to our problems that we are facing today will come by turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah makes it very, very clear in the Quran Sharif. Allah says, "Ista'inu bisabri wassalah." That you are facing a crisis, you are facing a problem, you are going through difficult and hardship, be it as a, on a personal level or be it as ummah. Allah says, what is the resolution, what is the solution to your problem? Ista'inu, seek Allah's help, bisabri, by being patient. Being patient upon all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single command. Jihad is also a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through every action of Allah ta'ala, be patient upon the commands of Allah ta'ala. And patiently bear the suffering that you are going through. And Allah singles out one of the important acts through which we will get a solution to our problems. Ista'inu bisabri wassalah. And through salah you will find the solution to your problems. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, during that golden period of his rule of the Muslim Ummah. You know, many times we make the mistake and people say the golden period of Islam was the Muslim rule over Andalusia and the areas of Spain. Undoubtedly, it was a very, very glorious period in Islamic history. But the golden period of Islam is خَيْرٌ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The golden period of Islam is the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the time of the people that came after them, and the time of the time of Nabi sallam and the Sahaba, and the time of the Tabi'in, and the time of the Tabi'in. Nabi sallam said, this is the golden period of Islam. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, during his magnificent rule over a very, very large part of the known world at that time, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu writes a letter to all of his governors, writes letters to all of his governors that are ruling over the various places around the world. Now Umar, now just put yourself in that position, understand my dear brothers, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, with all his political prowess, with all his genius maneuvers in comes to ruling the ummah, He writes a letter. Umar radiallahu anhu, who was ruling over, at the height of his khilafat, he ruled over 3.6 million square meters of earth. Square kilometers. 3.6 million square kilometers of earth. Such a large part of the known world he is ruling over. He writes to his governors. So what you would think, you and I would think that in this letter, he will tell them about some military strategy or some political maneuver, some political strategy, or maybe he'll tell them about methods of good governance. Subhanallah, what does he write to his governors? Inna ahamma amrikum indi as-salah. O my governor, I have placed you as a governor ruling over the certain area. To me, the most important thing is your salah. The most important thing is your salah. Faman hafidhaha. وَحَافَظَ عَلَيْهَا حَفِظَ دِينَهُ. Again he says, that person who is paban, regular with his salah, and he safeguards his salah, then he has protected his deen. And then he mentioned a very important point. He says, مَنْ ضَيَّعَهَا فَهُوَ لِمَا سِوَاهَا أَضْيَعَ. But that person who cannot even look after the most primary, the most foundational, the most fundamental issue of his deen, and that is salah, then how can he be trusted for anything else? If you waste your salah, if you are neglectful towards your salah, then of course you're going to be neglectful towards other things. So Umar radiallahu writes this important letter, my dear brothers. And this shows us, Umar radiallahu, the great Khalifa, Amirul Mu'mineen, he writes to his governors, and this is the important things that he is highlighting and stressing upon for his governors. My dear brother, don't get me wrong. I am not saying that we should not use other means to try to resolve our problems that we are facing. But today we have turned things upside down. We are trying to start with the issue of, no, we need politics. This, no concern for salah. No stress upon salah. No importance of salah. We're trying to see the boycotting and the rallying and the marching and the court cases and the politics. We are trying to start with that. Whereas plan A, route one, has always been the fundamental of deen, and the most fundamental and the fundamental things of deen is to perform our salah. Put salah right in our lives, and automatically Allah will make everything else fall in place. That is why we have Arabic saying, أصلح صلاتك تصلح كل أمور حياتك. Put your salah in order, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make everything else in your life fall in place. Ummat puts their salah in order, every single thing of the ummat will fall in place. That is why, my dear brothers, in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, time of the Khulafa'i Rashidin, those sahaba that became governors of the various regions and places, they had no political background. They didn't go to some university and get a degree in political science. Many of them did not have any leadership position prior to accepting Islam. But when they had deen in their life, and they had salah in their life, automatically Allah Ta'ala made them not just any leaders, but the best leaders the world has ever seen. And we are seeing this today again, my dear brothers, today in Afghanistan. May Allah protect the Islamic Imarat of Afghanistan. We're seeing it today. Recently, we know the Afghani people and the passion for deen, the passion for salah, and all the injunctions of deen. Recently, one alim, our start of ours, traveled to Afghanistan. And he says, subhanallah, the Afghani people, none of them have studied in universities. The rulers study in universities to get degrees in political science, anything like that. He says, today, subhanallah, you go there to Afghanistan, the person in the morning, mullah, you know, all of them have the name mullah before they title mullah. In Pashto language means an alim, a mulana. So he says, in the morning, the man is teaching Bukhari Sharif from Fajr to 9 o'clock. From Fajr to 9 o'clock, is the Bukhari Sharif Ustaz in the Darul. And from 9 o'clock to Maghrib, he's one of the high-ranking officials in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And likewise, so many other positions in the government is being held by people who have no political background, but they have deen in their life. They have the importance of salah in their life. And as a result of this, everything is falling in place. If you'll be following the news, last year, 2023, the Afghani is the currency of Afghanistan, was the third best performing currency in the world. The third best performing currency in the world. So my dear brothers, when we will get deen in our life, when we will get salah in our life, put this right and every other issue in our life will fall into place. So this is the importance, my dear brothers, of salah in the life of a believer. Some of the virtues of salah, my dear brothers, there are too many virtues regarding salah. Alhamdulillah, we have the kitab of Fadailul Amal, a great kitab which we should ourselves read it to our families, our children, to see many of the virtues of salah. I'd like to speak only about maybe two or three of the important virtues of salah, some things that may interest us. Firstly, my dear brothers, we as believers, as mu'minun in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every single believer is wanting and trying to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abandon and give up a life of sin. No matter where we are in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala currently, even though we may feel we are very, very far from Allah ta'ala at the moment, but every believer is wanting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's impossible that a person is saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he has no hope of getting closer to Allah ta'ala. No matter where you may be in your life, no matter how far we may have drifted from Allah ta'ala, every believer in his heart, he wants to be good. He wants to give up sin. He wants to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spells out to us a very, very important and a very, very simple way to give up a life of sins. أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Allah Ta'ala says that perform salah, verily the power of salah is such that when it is performed properly, with its due respect and its due etiquette, this will save a person from fahsha, from indecent acts, and munkar, and from evil. Hazrat Mawlana Masrullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, when he would translate this ayat, he would play on the pun tanha. Tanha in Arabic means prohibits, stops. And tanha in Urdu means by itself, alone. So he says, namaz, tanha, buri baaton aur behayai aur buri baaton se rokti hai. That namaz itself has the strength and the capacity to save a person from committing sins. On one occasion, one person came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he told Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's one person, he performs salah, whole night is engaged in tahajjud. But the daytime comes, and now the person goes about stealing. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu tells him, if what you are saying is true, that really the person performs salah the entire night, then sooner or later, the salah of this person will allow him and lead him to give up his habit and his weakness of stealing. So my dear brother, performing salah is a very, very important thing, a very, very great measure that will help a person to give up a life of sin. Another virtue of salah, my dear brothers, in Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقَ نَحْنِ نَرْزُكُكَ. Allah Ta'ala says that, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, command your family to perform salah and you yourself be patient upon salah. And Allah goes on to say, and we do not ask you to provide. Rather, Allah says, I provide. نَحْنِ نَرْزُكُ. We, Allah says, I provide for you. Imam al-Kathir rahmatullah alayhi, under the commentary of this hadith, he says that in this ayat there is an indication that that person who will be regular, be pabund, look after his salah, then Allah will increase the rozi, the risk and the sustenance of this person. And he goes on to mention narration of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his family went through difficult times financially, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say, Ya ahla, O my family, sallu sallu. Read salah, because salah will alleviate and remove the financial difficulty that you're going through. In Tirmidhi Sharif, there is a riwayat, there is a narration, wherein Hadith Qudsi, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the tongue of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrates from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Ibn Adam, oh my banda, free yourself for my worship. Free yourself for my worship. Take out time to worship me. And what I will do for you, I will put independence in your heart. I will free you from dependency upon the people, and I will remove poverty from your life. I will remove poverty from your life. But that person who will not take out time to perform salah, he will not take out time to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'ala says, I will make you dependent upon the people, and I will not remove poverty from your life. I remember on a few occasions, our beloved Ustad, Hazrat Abdul Haq Maftah Sahib, now Barakat narrated the incident of a person who he says, a person who here in our Durban area, he had a shop in town, and business was not too good. On one particular day during that period where the business was not too good, time for salah came. So the person was very, mashallah, very regular with his salah. So the person began to lock up his shop to go to proceed for salah. When he's just locking up his shop, one person came along and told him, not, I want to buy some, a non-Muslim person, I want to buy some stuff from you. So the person, and it was a substantial amount that he wanted to purchase. So the person, the shopkeeper, said it was optional. He was caught between two options. Either open up my shop and serve this person and make this amount of money, but at the expense of my salah, at the expense of my salah. Or I can go for salah. So the person said, the shop vendor, mashallah, Allah had put in his heart the importance of salah. So he said, unfortunately, my brother, I cannot serve you now. I have to go for salah. And he even told the person that down the road, there is another person also selling at a similar price, whatever you need, maybe you can get it from him. So the person proceeded for salah. He went for salah. He read his salah, took his time, no rush back. He comes back after salah, lo and behold, the person is waiting for him there. And the person said, when I saw your importance towards your prayer, I realized that you're an honest person, so I decided I'll wait for you to come back and I will buy from you. نَحْنُ نَرْزُكُ. Allah Ta'ala says, you be pabund regular upon your salah, and we're not asking you to provide. Rather, Allah Ta'ala says, I will provide for you. So another virtue of salah, my dear brothers, one virtue is that it helps us to overcome sins. Another virtue is that salah helps us to increase our rozi and our sustenance in our lives. Another important issue pertaining to a virtue of salah is that, many issues I mentioned, is that a person who will be regular with his salah, then this person will enjoy the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. There was a young sahabi named Rabi'at ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala. Rabi'at ibn Ka'b al-Aslimi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was a sahabi who used to make khidmat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to sleep at the outside the door of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would in the morning prepare the wudu water for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, other issues as well. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the diligence and the sincerity of this young person. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Sal, O Rabi'a, you have been making my khidmat. Maybe there's something special, a special dua, something special that you want. Ask me and I will ask Allah Ta'ala to grant you that. So he says, O Nabi of Allah, I ask you to be your companion in Jannah. Nabi asked him, O Rabi'a, anything else? So Rabi'a, well, that is it. That's what I want. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, O Rabi'a, if you want that, فَإِنِّي عَلَى نَفْسِكَ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ. If you want that, then you have to assist me for you to acquire that rank and that stage. And for you to acquire that rank and that stage, you have to be very, very regular and very, very pabund with your salah. So another virtue of salah, my dear brothers, is that a person who is regular with his salah, he will enjoy the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Moving on to, my dear brothers, some of the important issues, some of the masail, not so many masail, but some of the important issues pertaining to salah. So firstly, my dear brothers, when it comes to be it salah or any other thing, we first have to understand that these injunctions of deen are a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. Whether it be our salah, our zakah, our sum. Unlike many of the laws of a country, many times the laws that a country enact and they put into place is for their benefit, the benefit of the country. Sometimes at the expense of the civilians, certain laws are put into place. We have many examples of that which we have seen recently. At the expense of others, of the population, for the benefit of the government, certain laws. But when it comes to the acts of deen, Allah is independent. Allah doesn't need our salah. If all the Muslims of the world, wal'iyadhu billah, have to give up performing salah, it will not make any difference. It will not make any difference, Allah Ta'ala. If all the Muslims of the world have to give up paying zakat, it make no difference, Allah Ta'ala. If all the people of South Africa stop paying taxes, it'll make a big difference to the government that we have. But all the Muslims of the world stop paying zakat, it makes no difference to Allah Ta'ala. It is our good fortune and Allah's kindness upon us that Allah allows us to perform salah. It's our kindness that Allah Ta'ala allows us to discharge zakat. It's Allah's kindness upon us, Allah allows us to fast. If Allah wanted, Allah will deprive us of these ni'mats and we will become very, very wretched people. So the acts of deen, my dear brothers, the acts of deen are not a burden. It's not a task, it's not a job. When we will take it to be a job, a burden, a task, then we'll moan and then we'll groan and then we'll find excuses, petty, petty excuses and petty, petty reasons not to discharge the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we see it as a ni'mat of Allah ta'ala, then very lovingly, very willingly, very happily will we discharge the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, one you get is, for example, you get a woman who's a hired nanny, or she takes care of a child, babysitter. Now that child, that woman, she's hired to do a job. So many times, and there's so many incidents, articles, CCTV footage of nannies and babysitters beating up those young children. Because every small thing irritates them because it's a job, a burden I have to do just to earn a living, I have to do this. And one is a mother who for many years has been waiting for Allah to bestow her with a child. When Allah gives her that child, she realizes so many years without the child, what a ni'mat, what a great favor Allah Ta'ala this child is. So that mother, even if she had a long day, the mother is sick, she fasted the entire day. In the late part of the night, the child cries. That mother very happily, very lovingly will wake up with all her sickness, all her tiredness, and she'll embrace that child. She'll kiss that child and she'll begin to succor the child. Why? Because this is not a job, it's not a task. Out of the love for the child, I've recognized what a favor this child is. That is why with great love and enthusiasm, I discharge and I do this for my child. Likewise, my dear brothers, the ahkam of deen, the injunctions of deen are a favor Allah Ta'ala upon us. That is why, as Abdul Haq Maktasab, he says, give the example. He says, our attitude towards Allah should be this, that everything we do lovingly. He says, for example, a person comes for salah. All his days, for example, Asr salah was example at 5 o'clock. And on one particular day, Asr salah changed to 5:15. So the person came to the masjid at 5 to 5, thinking the namaz at 5 o'clock. And then he realizes the namaz is 5:15. So many of us, may Allah forgive us, will say, oh, longer working hours. No one likes longer working hours. Now I have to wait 20 minutes for salah. I could have waited 5 minutes, and now I have to wait 20 minutes for salah. But a true believer, what he will say, Aaj mehboob ne mujhe jaldi bulaya. Today Allah Ta'ala favored me by calling me early to the masjid. I got extra time to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So salah is not a burden. Salah is not a job, a task upon us. But salah is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. That is why very, very lovingly, very, very willingly, with great enthusiasm, Nabi Sallam said, جُعِلَ الْقُرَّةِ عَيْنِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. The coolness of my eyes, the enjoyment of my life lies in salah. So one is, my dear brothers, the preparation for salah. One is the physical preparation for salah, the physical. So one is the issue of wudu. We have to learn the important masail of wudu. Unfortunately, up to today, we see many, many people who do not perform their wudu properly. Just imagine the scenario, my dear brothers, in Ramadan, a person wakes up, now he wakes up 2:30 in the morning. He makes wudu. He performs tahajjud salah, 4 rakats, 8 rakats, even be of tahajjud salah. He recites Quran. Thereafter, the person has his sahri, and then he comes for fajr salah, he comes to the masjid. Early he comes for fajr salah, he comes to the masjid, performs salah, fajr salah with jamaat. And thereafter, the person sits in his place for an hour or so until the time of ishraq salah, and then the person performs ishraq salah and he goes home. But this person was careless. He was not particular about performing wudu properly. This entire effort of the person, from early in the morning, right until ishraq, down the drain. His salah is not accepted. Salah is wudu, was why his wudu, he was careless regarding wudu, so his salah is not accepted in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is the wudu. We have to be particular about wudu when we're washing our face, washing our arms, making masa of the head, and washing our feet. There's no time to go into details, my dear brothers. So one is the physical preparation. Likewise, my dear brothers, the clothing we wear for salah, it should be appropriate clothing. It should be appropriate clothing for salah. Today we will not go for some high important meeting. We will not go to our wedding or any person's wedding dressed up shabbily, wearing some sort of clothes that are regarded as disrespectful, that are regarded as too casual. We'll not go for any wedding like that. But for salah to come stand for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find it no problem whatsoever. The way we smell as well, we should apply itar, proper itar, and smell good when you come in for salah. And one is the mental preparation for salah. Mental preparation for salah. We find in the hadith sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many a hadith, he said certain things that shows us that we as Muslims have to mentally prepare for salah. Nabi sallam said that the person makes wudu at home and he proceeds for salah, already the person is regarded to be in salah. Nabi sallam said that the person sitting in the saf and waiting for salah, he is already regarded to be in salah. Nabi sallam said the person goes for salah and is waiting for salah, he must not sit with his, make tashbik bin al-aswabi, he must not sit with his fingers like this. Ulama explain why, because in namaz, it is makruh for a person to stand in namaz with his hands like this. So now when you are waiting for salah, is as though you are ready in salah, mentally prepare for salah. Do not sit and wait for salah. This also ulama mentioned that sitting like this generally is a sign of a person being his thoughts are, he being carried away by some other thoughts. He's ghafil. Sitting like this generally is a sign of a person being ghafil. And in salah, when you're getting ready for salah, you should be mentally prepared and not be ghafil. I'm about to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfill the objective of my life, and that is to bow down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is the physical preparation. Another important issue is the mental preparation for salah. Another important issue of salah, my dear, is performing salah in jamaat. Performing salah in jamaat is something that is very, 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 very important. As Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, that person who wants to meet Allah Ta'ala as a believer, then he has to make it a point that he performs salah in those places where the adhan is called out and people congregate for salah. He says because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had shown us Sunanul Huda, the ways of guidance. And the ways of guidance, amongst the ways of guidance, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is to perform salah in jama'ah at the place where adhan is called out. And he says there was a time in Medina Munawwara. There was a time in Medina Munawwara that every single person in every single baligh male in Medina Munawwara was reading salah in the masjid. To such an extent, that even the munafiq, who we do not know him to be a hypocrite as yet, for him to cover up himself, he would come for salat in jamaat in Masjid al-Nabawi. Because being in jamaat salah in Masjid al-Nabawi was an indication that you are a believer. He says a person will come, he was very, very sick. So sick that he could not even walk properly. But that person will be brought, supported by two men, and he'll be brought and made to stand in the saf. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that in any community, in any area, there are even three baligh males. And these baligh males do not congregate to perform salah, then know very well that shaitan has found a way to attack this person and these people and lead them astray. And Allah's Nabi gives us an example, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that you have a flock of sheep, and a wolf wants to attack a sheep. The wolf will never attack the sheep that are flocked together, gathered together, standing as a jama'ah. But that one sheep that is isolated by itself, the wolf would attack that sheep. The person who's not congregating, not coming for jama'at salah. So my dear brothers, today unfortunately our attitude is such, the person says, at least, you know, I read salah at home, I don't go to masjid, but at least I read my salah. That is our attitude towards salah. Unfortunately, it's not our attitude towards other things in life. Now, salat in jama'at ulama is the akmal, is the perfect way, is the most complete way of performing salah. In the other aspects of our life, this is not the attitude of a person. You know, at least it's done, at least I read my salah. Yes, alhamdulillah, we have to read our salah. But if a person says, at least I read my salah, I'm reading my salah, I'm not coming to the masjid, I'm reading at home, it's fine, there's nothing wrong with it. Other parts of our life, we don't say this here. A person is driving, mashallah, I have never seen this in my life. A person is driving a nice car, mashallah, got a new GTI or a new M3, and then his rims get stolen. So then he replaces his rims with normal tires and wheel caps. M3, normal tires, wheel caps. Never in my life I've seen it, even I was trying to see if I could find the picture on Google. I couldn't find on Google too. Such a picture. Never. Then that person does say, no, it's fine. It does the job. It's done. I'm getting around. I'm getting my work done. I'm going around. Then still, the person doesn't have the money. He'll take a loan so that he can put mags back on his car. So when it comes to Jamaat Salah, then we adopt a very lackadaisical approach. I'm reading my Salah. It's fine. Rather, the importance of Salah in Jamaat can never be stressed enough. So my dear brothers, the performing Salah in Jamaat is very, very important. Then when we come to the Masjid, my dear brothers, another important issue of Salah is the straightening of the safs. Very, very important issue of Salah. Nabi Sallam, many ahadith, Nabi Sallam stressed the importance of Salah. Nabi Sallam, I'll only read one hadith too, because time's run out. One hadith, when Nabi Sallam mentioned that Nabi Sallam said, would pay special importance to straightening the safs. Nabi Sallam, before Salah, will check to his right, he will check to his left to ensure the sufa in place, check the back safs as well, ensure that everyone's heels are in line, not toes are in line, but everyone's heels are in line. Nabi Sallam did this. One day, Nabi Sallam about to commence his Salah, and he noticed that one person is standing out of the saf. He's not in line with the other people. So Nabi Sallam said, oh, Ibadullah, oh, the slave of Allah, straighten your safs. For to mention one very important point, Nabi Sallam was so much importance to straighten the safs. Sahaba say, as though Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was trying to straighten the shaft of an arrow. You have an arrow. For that arrow to be accurate, the shaft, the stick of the arrow has to be very, very straight. If it's slightly crooked, slightly bent, then the arrow will go to the right or go to the left. So that's how much importance. And one day Nabi Sallallahu about to commence Salah, he saw a person stand out the saf. He said, oh, slaves of Allah, straighten yourself. Oh, if you do not straighten yourself, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you don't keep your safs in line, then Allah ta'ala will not keep your hearts in line, and not keep your faces in line. That means Allah will create disunity amongst us. Perhaps one of the reasons for us having the disunited ummah today is because we're not showing importance towards straightening the safs in salah. So this is very, very important. Very, very important. Straightening the saf means three things. Three things. Straightening the saf means ensure that all of us are standing in one straight line. Straightening the saf also means ensure that we are standing very, very close to each other. Nabi Sallam said in Hadith Sharif, do not leave furujat to shaitan. Do not leave gaps in the saf for shaitan to come between there and disturb you in salah. And the third issue of straightening the saf is to ensure that the first saf the front stuff is complete before we commence with the next stuff and the next stuff and next stuff. All three of the issues make up the issue of the import or issue of taswiyat tusawwuf, the straightening of the stuffs. Then my dear, one, two, maybe errors that we commonly see in salah. When a person commences his salah, then we start with takbir at-tahrima. The raising of the hands in takbir at-tahrima is sunnah. Saying that takbir is a shart, according to the Hanafis, is a shart. That means, if we do not say the takbir to commence the salah, then our salah has not commenced, and our salah is not valid. The books of fiqh mentioned that the person has to say this takbir, and it's a very, very common error. You have to say that takbir in such a way, بِحَيْثُ يُسْمِعُ نَفْسَهُ, in such a way that you yourself can hear the takbir. So a person just saying it under his breath, or under his breath, a person just thinking of the takbir, his salah does not commence. There's no salah. He has to say in a way that he can hear himself, Allahu Akbar. Raise the hands. When it comes to raising the hands, the preferred way according to Hanafi is, a person first raises his hands. And then he says, Allahu Akbar, and then he ties his hands. He first raise the hands, and then he says, Allahu Akbar. So that's the way of starting the salah. And then when we tie our hands in salah, the hands should not be tied above the navel, but rather should be tied in the area between the navel and the pubic region. And the person should stand in a respectful way in salah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, salah is not this issue of getting it done, but Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many, many hadiths, he stressed the importance of performing salah properly. He stressed the importance of performing salah properly. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one hadith that, do not think that I cannot see you behind me in salah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do your ruku and do your sajda properly. Because how I'm looking towards my qibla, I can also see behind me. This is a long explanation how this works, no time to go into details. But Nabi Sallam stressed upon sahaba the importance of forming salah properly. So tie our hands properly. Then my dear brothers, another very important salah, issue of salah is the issue of ruku. Allah Ta'ala in Hadith Sharif says, in Quran Sharif says, Warka'u ma'a rakin. We never find Allah Ta'ala in salah saying, Usjudu ma'a sajidin. That perform prostrate in salah with those who are also prostrating. But Allah said, make ruku in salah with those who are performing ruku. Ulama mentioned two reasons. One possible reason why Allah chose these words is because the salats of the ummah of the past, also had salah, but perhaps their salah didn't have ruku in it. Only our ummah has ruku in their salah. And the second possible reason is because the most mistakes in salah are made in ruku. From all the postures of salah, the mistakes that happen the most happen in ruku. So important issues regarding ruku, my dear brothers, when we say takbir to go in ruku, and likewise all movements of salah, the takbir is for the duration of that movement. So a person is going to ruku, when he starts bowing down for ruku, he says Allahu Akbar, and when he comes into ruku, he ends off the Allahu Akbar. A person waking up from, for example, from sajda to qiyam, then his takbir is for the length of waking up. As soon as his forehead lifts up the ground, he says, Allahu Akbar, and he says Allah, and he completes the takbir where once he stands up again. That's the length of these takbirs in the movement of salah. So when it goes into ruku, in ruku, the knees should be straight, they should not be bent, as well as the elbows. The elbows should be locked. The hadith sharif says, Wattara. Nabi Sallam made his hands like a watar. A watar refers to the string of a bow. The string of a bow is very, very taut, very, very tight. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as though we're going to ruku, this part of the body is the curve of the bow, and the hands are like the string of a bow, very, very tight. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would grab, always mention the hadith, and we also have to do it, he would grab his knees whilst in salah. Grab his knees whilst in salah, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's back would be straight as well as his head. The mistake we make, sometimes we drop our head in ruku, and sometimes we raise our head in ruku. But rather, the hadith sharif mentions that the head should be in line with the back whilst in ruku. That is ruku. And then going to the sajda, there are three common errors which we make in sajda, and the hadith speaks of this here. One is, when we go into sajda, our elbows should be kept off the ground. Nabi Sallam said, وَلَا تَبْسُطْ يَدَيْكَ إِنْ بِسَاطَ الْكَلْبِ. When you go into sajda, do not spread out your hands, your elbows flat on the ground, like how a dog or a wild animal, when it's lying down, if you have not noticed a dog, how it sits, when sitting down, it'll have the paws or the front part of his leg flat on the ground. If you haven't seen it, the lion matchbox that we have, look at the picture there, you see the picture of the lion, and see how its hands are, how the front legs of it are, when he's sitting down, flat on the ground. So we have keep our elbows off the ground. That's one. The second mistake we make in sajda is that we make a closed sajda. What does this mean? In sajda, we have to expand our body, reach out a bit, put our head away from our body in salah. The Hadith Sharif says, the Nabi will make sajda, and his stomach will not be resting upon his thighs, not be taking support upon his thighs. The Hadith also mentions that Nabi there will be such a gap in his, between his stomach and his thighs in salah, that if a small baby goat wanted to run underneath Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it was possible, there was space, it was possible for you to run underneath Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the third mistake being sajda, I call this the lazy fajr sajda, that a person in sajda, he draws his elbows in sajda, and he rests upon that. Meantime, because of laziness or lack of knowledge or because we're tired, we do, it's a very comfortable way of making sajda, but this is against the sunnah method of making sajda. Also important sajda, my dear brothers, our nose and our foreheads have to be in sajda. So my dear brothers, these are some of the, perhaps some of the errors that we make in sajda, in salah. Time has run out already. There are many, many other issues that we should need to discuss. In fact, a few sessions are required for us to discuss the full practicals, the beginning of salah till the end of salah. But in these few words, inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala make us understand the importance of salah, the multiple benefits of salah. May Allah Ta'ala give us those benefits and virtues of salah. And may Allah Ta'ala allow us to perform salah in a correct way and a manner that is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.